anything else to the world. So, and it's just truth, Wendy. It's just truth, okay? It ain't nothing to be scared of, but it's something to really take seriously. And I want to welcome to the show. And she's going to say, "Oh, come on, that's not real. You're not really saying that about, you know." Yes, I am. One of my favorite playwrights. And I've seen a lot of your plays.
You have.
And I have never left going, whatever. I've always left with my head going, I got to think now. I got to think.
Well, I'm glad that you do feel like that. My mother always says, "Can't you write a comedy?"
How about a love story? There you go. And actually, you did write a love story.
It is a love story.
Yes.
All my ones are love
stories. That's interesting. We'll talk about that in a minute. So anyway, playwright Wendy Graff and the actor Jeannie Sakia. Okay, yes, I got it. Is it Jeannie or Jean?
Jean.
Okay, Jean Sakia. And Jean is one of two actors. The other one is Annika Marks. And it's a one-person play that is, I mean, you're riveted to your seat the entire time. And I can imagine, you know, how emotionally intense it is for you playing the part. But also for the audience, it's just incredible to watch what you go through and the house that Wendy's built and the way you actually live in it is a really, really great point, you know. So I wanted to thank both of you, okay, and Annika too. We need that. Where's that paper face of Annika we were going to tape up to? Right? Anyway, Wendy, let's talk about this. First, give people a sense of what the play is.
The play asks the question, how does an all-American girl evolve into a terrorist? And terrorism, the word terrorist is, I think, subjective. You know, that's one of the subjective parts of the play. But it's not a play. I have no political agenda. I just want people to ask questions and to wonder. And we have a catchphrase in our house when we call it a "How did you get here from there, Mr. Shepherd?" play, and that's from "Merrily We Roll Along" by Stephen Sondheim. And this is a "How did you get here from there?" play. And the thing that's been so interesting about it is, as we started to find the play through four previous workshops and then this production, as we started to find the play, as you do with an original play, all these questions started to come up that we started to think about. We started to think about how complicit are we as a society in creating a person like Katie? And with so many kids today being radicalized and joining extremist groups, is there something in somebody's background that could predict this? Is terrorism and a propensity towards war inherent in Orthodox religions? Or do we simply exist in a culture of violence? Is one man's activist another man's terrorist? And is violence and violent protest ever justified? I don't have the answers at all, and I don't want to give the answers. I mean, that's really up to the audience to decide and to look at themselves and to question that. And I don't think it's any one thing, just as it isn't in any person's life. It's not any one thing that turns them left instead of right. It's just vantage points along the way where you can pause and say, what if?
It's interesting. We're going to get into this.
Okay. But
Gina, I want your take on it because, one, Wendy wrote it. Wendy lived with it. Like, it was like, you know, that kid that she was raising for quite some time. And I remember the first reading of that, that it was kind of intense.
So intense. That's when she was a suicide bomber. It's a totally different plot now. But
oh,
it
I
was
didn't even
interesting.
Know that
you
was
didn't
a
know
plot
that?
Point.
No, it was so interesting because it was a full house for the reading. You could hear a pin drop during the reading, and I thought, this is awesome. Everybody's going to love this. And when it was over, there was like silence, and then everyone was like, I hate this girl.
I wasn't like that.
Of course. That's why I love being here, Michael, because I know I can preach to the choir.
There you go.
Most people were.
But I wasn't because of something, because I thought you hit on something, even in that rendition of it. And I do think this one is incredible in its development. But I think even in that rendition of it, there was still that point that was posed. There was a question that was posed of how the hell does this happen?
Right.
You know, and that was, I think, was really important. It's something people don't want to grapple with because it's easy to say they're at fault. This is it. They're crazy. They got this insane religious belief going on, and you know they'll do this. Meanwhile, you know, we're training people and glorifying them who sit in Las Vegas having drone warfare on wedding parties in Afghanistan, incinerating children. You know, and but they're not, you know, we should start asking how the hell did they get there? And you have to start looking at them. What are all the forces that came together?
Well, that's what I kind of hope will come out of this, because I think it's very easy to dismiss the people as monsters or insane, you know, and all that. And then you don't have to look at the reasons why. And if we can start to look at the reasons why, maybe we can do something about it. My son, who's a producer at 60 Minutes, was just in Berlin for 3 weeks shooting a story. And he got together with all the Das Spiegel journalists. And in Germany, at least, and here I am defending Germany, which is kind of ironic.
Well, I understand they have the Nazi flag in the museum where love can actually be. Yeah.
Right. It's kind of ironic. But they said that a lot of the recruitment is done in the prisons, and they're sending imams into the prisons to talk to these people about what Islam really is about. And to kind of re-educate them.
I'm going to get into that in 1 second, but I do want to hear from Gene.
You
have a monumental challenge ahead of you. When you come into this, you're not in a lot of one-person plays. It's not, you know, you're not telling your story just like your story.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot of complexity to it. And you play, 1,000 different characters? Right?
Less than 1,000.
But with different voices, with different perspectives, and it's really... I mean, it's phenomenal. The character itself is phenomenal. How did you find this? How did you like it?
I loved the experience, and I think it's challenging when you think about it that way of, oh my gosh, I'm going to be up on stage for an hour and a half, and there are 18 different people at different stages of their lives that I'm working on. But when you start to approach it the way you do any other character of, okay, who is this girl? How does she get from A to B to C? And then you just track it the whole way through. And the interesting thing is that who Katie is at the end of it, it's not like there are several big moments that happen in the play that you can see, okay, this really shifts her perspective. But it's more than just the big moments, too. It's a lot of little moments that happen quietly or that go unnoticed that help turn her into who she is and help change her perspective to what it is at the end of the play. It's been an incredible journey just trying to dive into this young woman and to get to play all these characters, and it's been extraordinary.
You know, that's a really important viewpoint you're bringing out here, because it's like, I think there's too much of concentrating on just like sort of, you know, this did this, but there's this whole, what Wendy wrote here was this whole life experience.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something that we have to look at in terms of even, you know, look, I look at the world and I see, I don't advocate any form of terrorism. I'm a revolutionary communist. That's where I'm at. You know, and I think there needs to be a revolution throughout the world, and we can finally build a society that's not based on oppression and exploitation and dehumanization of anyone. However, we live in a world where actually the vast majority of the world, I mean, right now, you know, we live the first time ever in the history of humanity, more than 50% of the people in the world live in cities. You know what that means in terms of the destruction of the, not only, you know, a lot of people say, yeah, well, our food base and our this, yeah, that's true, but in terms of the destruction of the culture, the very signposts that people grow up and embrace and teach them a way to live in the world, that the way that they're able to cope with things, to understand things, that's all been ripped away from them. And they're forced into, they live in massive ghettos with 1 million people in Nigeria living around gas pipelines. And every Christmas there's massive fires that incinerate kids and other people because they're desperately trying to get some oil to heat their homes or to sell so they can get some kind of holiday thing. I mean, there's, you know, we're living, and it just goes on and on and on. And Wendy, I know you just came back from Vietnam.
Just when you were saying that, I was thinking about that. And God, you know, I mean, I could get into 3 more shows with you about Vietnam. But, yeah, I mean, it was crazy. It was like kind of going down a rabbit hole because, you know, everything that we grew up with and that we were told. I mean, just the fact that they told me that the country of Laos was changed by the American media or whoever to be called Laos, so people would associate them with lousy and louses.
Isn't America wonderful?
And the best was at the Metropole Hotel in Hanoi. And when you go into Hanoi, it's like, you know, it's like flying into Berlin after World War II. You know, it's so like, oh my God, it's Hanoi. But I mean, it's beautiful. It's thriving. Well, anyway, I don't want to get into the Vietnam War.
The reason I was bringing that up.
That'll be another day.
Yeah. Because you, and we'll have to have you back for this, but, it really, there is a point here, though, of like the things that shape people. And, you know, and like Vietnam, I mean, somebody, I heard somebody on the radio a few weeks back who wrote a book about, you know, the different perceptions of Vietnam. And in this country, if you ask people how many Americans were killed in Vietnam, they can give you much more than the actual number. But if you ask them how many Vietnamese were killed, they give you about the same. And actually, there were like millions. You know, and nobody really knows the full count. And when you think about the napalming of the entire countryside, and that little kid that Nick Gut took, that photograph of that little kid
running
down the road with her back on fire.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is what, and so you ask, when this, and see, that's why I think it's more than just the individual encounters. I think, well, I like what you did, because you had to, you know, you had to deal with the things that were actually symbolic, or what actually happened in the character's life, in the character you played, in your life. You know, you had to deal with that, but there's a big question that I thought was always pointed to by what you were bringing out, from whether it's the assault on women and through abortion, the hypocrisy of the preachers, the destruction of the environment, all the stuff that goes on, the racism against the guy she falls in love with and his whole life turned upside down, the encounter with the cops, the stuff when they go back to his home. And then the stuff that I thought is one of the most powerful scenes. I'm not going to tell people what it is, because it's one of those scenes that just grabs you. But when all of a sudden it all caves in on your character and that snap happens, and you have to ask that question big in the entire world, what is it that in the world that is driving people to this point? And I think we have to ask ourselves too, not how what America can do, but what the people here and what people around the world. And particularly for me, I feel a certain responsibility because I'm a revolutionary. And I think actually for a long period of time, revolution has receded in the world. And people have made their peace with this kind of society. And so people are looking for answers, and they go to whatever they can get to that somehow will rationalize things and give them a path.
My husband thinks it's all economics.
I think it's part economics, but I think there's also, there's a dehumanization that's going on. That's very, I mean, people don't look at Arabs as human. They don't look at Africans. I mean, Africans, I spent a lot of time in Africa, and I'll tell you what, people don't look at Africans as African, as human. Ebola, it's fine if it's hitting down them, the Africans, you know, they're the next thing to a monkey anyway. I mean, I've had somebody say that to me, and it wasn't a moron. Well, he is a moron, but it was, you wouldn't think of him as one. But that's what happens. And so the dehumanization of people and people looking for an answer, and I think that's what's captured. Because you're posing the question, but the people in the theater are looking for an answer when they're done. And that's good. There was this older woman that came out, and I was talking to your husband, and she's going, "What the hell? Somebody tell me. We got to do something. This is going on." And I'm thinking,
yay.
What's she telling me? She goes, "This horror of what happens to people is going on. These people are twisted and tortured, and then they respond. We have to step in and do something." And she wasn't talking about push those people down, but she was talking about changing the entire world. And good Lord, and I don't even believe in the Lord. we've just gone to, we're at 10:56. We have 2 minutes, so real quick.
Oh, okay. Well, can we plug your talk back?
Yes, we can.
Okay.
I'll plug it. I'm actually really looking forward to this, folks, and you should definitely be there. All right. And the show is All American Girl. It's at the Lounge Theater 2, 6201 Santa Monica Boulevard. And it's running Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturdays at 8. And Sundays at 3 through July 26th. And really, check this out. And on the 18th, Saturday the 18th, I'm going to be facilitating a talk back. Are you going to be there?
I don't know. Yes, I'm going to say yes.
Good. Well, the both of you should be there, and you're going to be there.
And so, also, they can get tickets at www.interact.org, or it's also on Gold Star.
Okay.
But I know it's going to be a really interesting and heated discussion.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
It's going to be, and I think this is a play. Look, you know, I know people know I usually have only cultural events and things and pieces that I like on the show. But there's sometimes that I really like something and really encourage you very strongly to see or to do. And this is one of those things. And it's one of those events that's actually going to have you sitting up and thinking and talking for a long time about why the hell the world is the way it is and what can we do to change this? And think about the system, the operations of these systems, economic, political, cultural, all this stuff, because all that's based on the economics. Your husband's right on that. I think I agree with him. But the idea that a world exists where all this is acceptable and it's not. The humanity, it should not be acceptable. And it's time we had the courage and the morality to stand up and say, no, we've got to change this. So, Wendy, thank you very much.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you. Why do I want to call you Jeannie? Jean, thank you very much.
Thank you, Michael. Thank you.
All right. And so we've just been talking with Wendy Graff, the playwright of All-American Girl, and Jean Sakia, one of the actors in All-American Girl. And I'll say again, go see it. Right? And go on the 18th, because that'll be a hell of a lot of fun. That'll be I'm looking forward to this. Maybe we can stay until about 3 o'clock in the morning. All right? All right. I want to thank every one of the people who called in today, my assistant producer, Henry Carson, my production assistant, Jeff Pryor, my board offer today, Federico Garcia, for today and forever, Federico Garcia. All right? He doesn't like that one. And all of you for tuning in. You want to write to me, Ken, at michaelslade@redfuture.com. All right? It's michaelslade@redfuture.com. We're going out now with 1968. Talk to you next week.
Hello, this is Blaise Bonpain. Please listen to World Focus this Sunday, 10 a.m., KPFK, Los Angeles, 90.7 FM. I'll be speaking about the letter from Pope Francis, Our Common Home. And I'll be speaking about it at your request, because last week when I began the discussion, I asked you to call in, and those who called in and wrote emails were unanimous in asking me to continue. So I'll continue with that letter from the Pope this week, and the following week we'll have someone who exemplifies that, Kathy Kelly, just back from Afghanistan. Sunday